And if we're going to please God, there's not going to be any perfecting of the saints without powerful biblical preaching. Whatever tools a congregation has to perfect the saints, if we don't have this one, we're going to be deficient in the eyes of God. We have forgotten the great power of biblical preaching. It's always fascinated me, and when you look into the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but unto those of us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 declares that it is the preaching of the cross by which the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that God saves people. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 and 3 talks about how God manifested His Word. And He said He manifested His Word through preaching. One of the greatest charges in all of the Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, where Paul said to that young gospel preacher, "I charge in the name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." What a solemn charge. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. The time would come when brethren will not take the truth any longer. What is a preacher supposed to do, especially if he's got a family? What is he supposed to do when brethren don't want the truth anymore? Well, what did Paul tell Timothy to do? Did he tell him, "Let up on the brethren"? Did he say, "We need to stop this powerful biblical preaching when brethren get to where they can't take it anymore"? He said, "Timothy, you preach the Word. You rebuke those people. You reprove those people. You exhort them. And you do it with all patience and all doctrine." Titus chapter 1 verse 13, he left a man on the island of Crete. Now you remember a few years ago, that's close to where those Libyan planes shot at those American planes. I think the whole thing lasted about 18 seconds. Well, that's what we're talking about here in Titus 1 verse 5. The Bible says in Titus 1 5, "For this cause I left you in Crete, that you would set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city." What's he supposed to do? He's supposed to go to that island, and he's supposed to correct things in the church that need correcting. And you look at chapter 1, verse 13, you know one of the things that needed correcting in the congregations on the island of Crete? Rebuke them sharply. Now think of that, brethren. Rebuke them sharply. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. That's why preachers rebuke Christians sharply, not to boast of their ego, but so that brethren will be sound in the faith. Titus chapter 2 verse 15, Paul said to Titus, "These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority." Now, a lot of the preachers and churches of Christ today, they're more influenced by making friends and influencing people by Dale Carnegie than they are reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We have preachers who are more interested in making a following and keeping their putrid jobs rather than correcting my brethren. And I want to tell you something, brethren. The church is in a time when we need correction. We are in a time when our members need to be rebuked. We are in a time when our members need correction. We have had enough 20-minute pep rallies and 20-minute pep talks and all these little after-dinner speeches and all these little feel good about yourself, I'm okay and you're okay, and all the rest of that go to hell kind of preaching in our congregations. We need rebuking. We need powerful biblical preaching. And we're living in a time that we've had so little of it that when it does happen, it scares some of my brethren to death. why they think it's unloving and unkind. They're so ignorant of the Bible that they think you're not even exhorting the brethren when you have powerful biblical preaching. That's what we need. Many of the problems that we have had in churches of Christ in the last several years is because of an absence of powerful biblical preaching. Brethren, we have congregations that have not disciplined anyone for 20 or 30 years. We have some nice little preachers who won't even think about it, much less preach about discipline in the church. It scares them to death to even think about it. Don't think they're ever going to preach on it. We have preachers who will not preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We have preachers who will not engage in powerful biblical preaching, and people think they're wonderful. They're so kind and sweet, and that's what they're interested in, is gaining a following, making friends, and we live in a time when the church needs correction. We have had enough of all of these little pep talks and all of these little spiritual pep rallies. We've had enough ski trips. We've had enough trips to Six Flags. What we haven't had enough of is powerful biblical preaching. I'm not just talking about powerful preaching. Billy Graham does that. I've been listening ever since I was a little kid. He preaches powerful. You don't believe it? Just listen to say it's powerful. Not just powerful is what we need. We need powerful biblical preaching, which he doesn't do biblical preaching. He does powerful preaching. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why would anybody want to preach anything else? When we have what makes us wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:16, when we have the things that will make people of God complete, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, why would anybody want to preach anything else? Except powerful biblical preaching. That's the kind of preaching that God approves of. That's the kind of preaching that the Father in heaven wants us to be doing in churches of Christ. That's what used to distinguish us from the rest of the liberal bodies of the world. That's why people don't see any difference anymore, because we have our little 20-minute after-dinner speeches just like the rest of them. That wouldn't even offend Satan himself. In fact, Satan himself must be so happy when he hears our little 20-minute pep talks given to Christianettes, these little sermonettes that are in these churchettes. Satan must love it. The demons in hell must salute those preachers, and all of us who love that kind of nonsense, how happy Satan must be. It reminds me of Isaiah 30 and verse number 10. Have we become like these people in Isaiah 30 and verse 10? You know what they said to the preachers of their day? And this is God's people. They said to the preachers of their day, don't preach to us what's right. Don't preach to us right things. We want you to preach unto us smooth things. You know, that reminds me of churches of Christ today. Why, there's some pulpits across this nation that have not had powerful biblical preaching in 20 or 30 years, and if they had it, it'd scare those folks clean to death. People wouldn't be able to handle it, because they've had this nonsense for so many years, they wouldn't know what the real thing is. Did you know if we had some more powerful biblical preaching, people like Reuben Shelley wouldn't have anywhere to preach? If our members really loved strong preaching like they ought to, Reuben Shelley wouldn't have a job unless he went out here and sold insurance or sold a pair of shoes to somebody. He wouldn't have a preaching job. But it's because so many of my brethren love this smooth little fairy tale yellow brick road sermonettes. That's the reason Reuben Shelley has a job, and Max Licato and those other liberal preachers, that's the reason they have a job. You know, we have brethren, many of them in churches of Christ, who are in a hurry to bust the gates of hell wide open. And we have people in churches of Christ who dress immodestly, even in the assembly. Would you have thought that 20 years ago? I see women dressing in our assemblies today. 20 years ago, I'd have said that never happened in the Church of Christ. But it's happening. We have brethren who dress immodestly even in the assemblies. We have brethren who have no interest in the Bible. They're indifferent toward God. They're indifferent toward Jesus Christ. We have brethren who are gossips, who are talebearers, who are busybodies in other men's affairs. We have people who are in fornication and in adultery. And then we ask the preacher how things, oh, it's going good. It's going good, is it? People just in a hurry to bust hell wide open and we tell people it's going good. And the fact is, brethren, we don't want to correct you. Us preachers don't want to do it. You know why we don't want to do it? We know you're not going to take it. We know you are not going to be corrected. We know you're not going to have any part of it. We need men like you read about in Isaiah chapter 6 who realize that the church needs to be corrected, who realize that our brethren need to be rebuked, and say with Isaiah, Lord, here I am, send me to do this odious task to correct my own brethren who will no longer receive correction. We have brethren in churches of Christ who hate one another, who gossip, who say all kinds of ugly, mean things about, and they're in every assembly. No elder, I'm telling you right now, no elder wants to do a thing about it but sit and say, well, I wish they weren't that way, but there's just nothing you can do. Yeah, there's something you can do. There's a thing called church discipline. There's a thing you can do. We have brethren who are so ugly to each other. We have brethren who are more ugly to each other than the world could ever be, and they think they are going to go to heaven, and nobody wants to correct them because they know they're just like a time bomb that's going to go off at any moment. We need brethren who are courageous. We need preachers who will rebuke those people. They need to be corrected publicly, privately. They need to be corrected in the pulpit. We don't need to worry about their feelings. We need to worry about pleasing God. Why do we need this kind of preaching? Why? First reason, it's the kind that pleases God. Can you think of a better reason? I can't. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. Jonah goes down there to Nineveh. And God tells him, you go to that great city Nineveh. And you do the preaching that I bid thee. Isn't that what we need today? You know what kind of preaching that is? Powerful, biblical preaching. We need brethren filled with courage like Micaiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, who had the opportunity to go preach to that old wicked king, and all these little wimps are surrounding him before he gets there and saying, now listen, you better be careful what you say. That's the king. You better be sure you say good things about the king. You look at verse 13, you know what he said back to those little wimps? He said, as God lives, whatever God tells me to say, that's what I'm going to say. That's the kind of men we need in our pulpits. That's the kind of people we need all through churches of Christ to start again giving us powerful biblical preaching. People like Micaiah. Do you know what that king could have said? You know what we say in Texas. When Micaiah went in there and started all that negative stuff, you know what that king could have said to him? Get a rope. Cut his head off. You take his disrespectful head and you hang it up right out there where everybody can see it. Nobody's going to talk to me like that. I'm the king of God's people. He could have cut that man's head off. He could have tortured him to death. You know what? Micaiah didn't care. He went right in there like the man of God that he was, and he said, as God lives, whatever my God says to me, that's what I'm going to preach to that king. That's the kind of preachers we need. That's powerful biblical preaching. We need it because God approves of it. We need to remember John 12, 42 and 43. And who put Stephen Patterson ahead of me? I want to know whose idea that is. Here, I'm not even supposed to raise my voice, and you put Stephen Patterson ahead of me. John 12, 42 and 43. There were some people among the leaders that believed in Jesus. But it says they would not confess His name because they feared the Pharisees, that they'd be put out of the synagogues. Verse 43 says, "For they love the praises of men more than the praises of God." That reminds me of some of our little 20-minute pep talk preachers. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in their job. They're interested in their security. They're interested in making friends. What we need to be interested in, brethren, is pleasing God, not men. We need powerful biblical preaching because that's the kind of preaching that changes people's lives. You know, this little junk we've been messing around for the last 50 years, that don't help anybody. People say, "Oh, it makes me feel so good," and that's about all it's worth. And it don't make me feel good. It kind of makes me want to go to the restroom and vomit to hear that little 20-minute pep talk. But some people say, "Oh, it just makes me feel so good, and it just encourages me so much." And do you see any lives changing over that? That's not the kind of preaching that changes people's lives. You know what kind of preaching changes people's lives? Powerful, biblical preaching. That's what changes people's lives. Look at Jonah 3:2. God says, "You go to Nineveh. Jonah, you go to Nineveh and you do the preaching that I bid thee." And then you start in verse 3 and you just keep reading. You need to read the Bible a little more anyway. Just start in verse 3 and just keep reading. That whole city repented. That whole city repented because he did the preaching that God bid him to do. People would repent today, good and honest hearts. Now the other ones won't anyway. They're going to hell. Nothing anybody can do. But people who have good and honest hearts, powerful biblical preaching will change their lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica that he loved so dearly, and he praised them. He said, "Because when I came and preached to you, you received what I preached to you just as it is, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which effectively worketh in you that believe." Paul preached powerful sermons to those people. They accepted it. They became Christians. And what's it say in verse 13? It's working effectively in you. That's what powerful biblical preaching does. You know why? Because Hebrews 4 and 12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is quick. That means alive. The word of God is powerful. That Greek word means operative. It will operate on your heart. If your heart is not so hard that you won't let the word in there, it'll operate on your heart. We can take our young people to Six Flags and Slither Bomb and some other hell-bound places. I can't believe we take them. We can take them on all of these trips. But let me tell you something. If we don't give them the opportunity to learn the Word of God, all of that's not worth a plug nickel. If we don't teach our young people the Bible, if we have forsaken them, we have done them a horrible... "Oh, well, we're just worried about the young people." I'm worried about them too, but I'm not worried about them going to Six Flags. I'm worried about them learning the Word of God. I'm worried about them having a foundation to build their lives on that we're not giving them because they're not hearing powerful biblical preaching. We need powerful biblical preaching because that's the kind of preaching that makes folks repent. Hebrews 3:13. "Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know what's going to get through to that hardened heart? I tell you what, sometimes my wife can come up to me and she can say, "Hey, Steve, you need to think about that. And that's good enough sometimes. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes she has got to grab these shoulders and do like this before I get the point. Well, and that's the way a lot of us are. We kind of got to be hit a little bit harder before we get the idea we just might be on the road to hell thinking we on the road to heaven. And you know what's going to do that? Not these little pep talks. Powerful, biblical preaching. I bet you memorize those three words before it's over. Do you know why it'll do it? Jeremiah 23:29. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire? Is not like my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we get to going a way that's wrong. We get right on the road to hell and nobody can tell us. No, not anything can be done. But there's one thing can be done. That word of God is so powerful, if we just had it preached like it ought to be preached, it'll break the hardened heart. It'll get in there and get us to repent. That's what makes folks repent. Not these little ghost stories. Not these little pep talks and feel good about yourself. Nobody's going to repent from that. They don't even see the need of it, do they? Did you know we need powerful biblical preaching? Because you know that's the kind of preaching that started the Church of Christ. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about what started the Church of Christ? Look in your Bible in Acts 2:36. It's really the Holy Spirit speaking. Because in Acts 2:1-4, the Bible says they're all with one accord and with one place, and suddenly, as a sound, a rushing sound from heaven, the Holy Spirit fell on those men. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:4. It's really the Holy Spirit doing the talking through these men. And look what it says in verse 36. Now when they heard this. Let me tell you something. How long has it been where you go to church? How long has it been? The guy that stands in your pulpit that's such a nice, sweet little guy. How long has it been since anyone repented from that kind of preaching? When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? That's the kind of preaching that started the church. That's the kind of preaching that stirs men's hearts. That's the kind of preaching that changes men's lives. That's the kind of preaching that brings people to repentance. You read all through the book of Acts. Look at the next sermon we have in the book of Acts. It's chapter 3, verse 19. Look what he said there. Did he ease up on them there? Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then they start taking the gospel all over to all of these places. Acts 13, verse 46. People are getting up contradicting what they're saying. I've had people get up and walk out. I had an old man get up. Now, I thought I was preaching the Bible. I had an old man get up one time. He said, that's the biggest bunch of bull I ever heard. Just got up and walked out. But I've never had people actually contradict me while I'm preaching. That's what you got here in Acts 13. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Boy, that'd be hard. But look what happened in Acts 13:46. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. You know what that means? You know what that means? That doesn't mean a 20-minute after-dinner speech. That means they let the hammer down. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. And they said it was necessary that the word of God first be presented to you, but seeing that you have put it from yourselves and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. You think they went up and said, thank you for telling me that. I'm glad to know I'm unworthy of everlasting life. Because you're unworthy of everlasting life, we're turning to the Gentiles. Because you judge yourselves unworthy by not receiving powerful biblical preaching, they weren't worthy of eternal life. Acts 17:30. Well, now we're going to talk to the educated folk. We're going to talk to the people that got all kind of letters behind their name, been to school about half their life. They can't dare tell something simple. I mean, they got to make something complicated out of the simplest thing in the world to sound good. Paul's going to talk to those folks. The most educated elite of his day, he's going to talk to them in the city of Athens. You think he's going to let up on them? Well, since they're educated, we can't talk to the educated folk that way. Oh, we can't. He's looked out over them. He said, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, and he's given assurance unto all men in that he raised them from the dead. Paul talked about judgment day to those educated folks. Oh, we shouldn't talk about hell and judgment to the educated. I wish you'd been there to tell Paul that. He didn't know that. You got more sense than an inspired man, because that's what he talked about. Powerful biblical preaching. That's what you've got here that started the Lord's church, and that kind of preaching continued. I don't know what's happened to us in this generation. You know, don't we say we want to be the same church you read about in the Bible? Don't you tell folks that? What do you people in the Church of Christ believe? Well, don't you say, wow, we just want to be the church in the Bible. Why, you don't anymore believe that than I do. You don't believe that. If we want to be the same church you read about in the Bible, how come we ain't got the same kind of preaching they had? If we want to be the same kind of preaching, the same kind of church you read about in the Bible, how come you don't like the same kind of preaching they had? How come it makes you squirm, and how come it makes you feel uneasy? If we're going to restore the true church to this generation, we're going to have to restore powerful, biblical preaching. Acts 17, verse 6. You know what those folks did? They turned the whole world upside down with their preaching. We don't even scare Satan himself. In fact, he probably loves most of our sermons. They turned the whole world upside down. And then you got these little ignorant brethren saying, I don't think we ought to call names. You know, when people say, I wonder back when they was baptized, they knew what they was doing. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you, I wonder. If you didn't have no more sense than that, what'd you go down there in that water for? If you didn't know more about the Bible than that, where have you come from? The mothership? Have you read the book of Acts? Have you read how they preached in the original church? Didn't you know when you were baptized, it's our intent to restore that same church? You read about the way they preached. We worship just like the church in the New Testament. Okay, let's preach like them. Let's preach like them. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Paul says, we just got through talking about prayer. He said, pray for me. He didn't say, pray I'll be saved from that Roman monster Nero. He said, pray for me that I may have the courage so that with boldness I can continue to preach the gospel as it ought to be preached. It ought to be preached with boldness. It ought to be preached with courage. Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me that I can continue to do that. Isn't that a beautiful request of a beautiful apostle? For powerful, biblical preaching. You know what biblical preaching will do for you? If you'll just accept it, it'll bring you to your knees at the foot of the cross. It's not much for ghost stories and little illustrations and all that, but if you'll listen to powerful, biblical preaching, it'll bring you right to your knees. You will see your pitiful soul as it looks in the shape of God, even though you thought you was okay all these years. You'll see yourself like you really are if you'd listen to powerful biblical preaching. It'll bring you to repentance. It can save your soul. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe, 1 Corinthians 1:21, and it can save your soul today. May God give us the courage and the boldness to restore it in all of our congregations. Thank you.